Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Siltronic AG conference call regarding the Q3 results 2015. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Judith Distelrath.
Welcome to the Q3 2015 conference call on Siltronic AG. My name is Judith Distelrath from Investor Relations. We are happy to welcome you to our second quarterly call. It's a pleasure to have with me today Dr. Christopher Plotho, our CEO, and Rainer Irle, our CFO. Both will comment today on our recent results and will be available for questions afterwards. Please note that during this call, we may make statements which contain predictions, estimates, or other information which might be considered forward-looking. These forward-looking statements are based on current expectations and certain assumptions and are therefore subject to certain risks and uncertainties. Some of these risks and uncertainties are beyond Siltronic's control and could cause the actual result to differ materially from results, performances, or achievements that may be expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Please keep in mind that we are not obligating ourselves to revise or publicly release the results of any revisions of these forward-looking statements in light of new information or future events. Today, we have published our quarterly report, a press release on our numbers, an Excel file detailing our data, and shortly before this call, a management presentation. You will find this on our website, www.siltronic.com, under Investor Relations. With this, let me hand over the call to Dr. von Plotho.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to our conference call. Since our last update about 3 months ago, we saw some changes in the industry sentiment. Our customers have reduced their outlook due to weaker smartphone, tablet, and PC sales, particularly in China. The market researchers, IHS and SEMI, have reduced their forecast for the wafer industry again, and therefore, the second half of the year is developing slower than expected. Let's not spend too much time worrying about this temporary weakness. Q4 2014 to Q2 2015 was just a bit too optimistic and saw some inventory build in the supply chain. Now comes the correction. Overall, the story remains intact. Q3 sales were down 6% as expected, and most of that was 300 millimeter related. Prices were basically stable in Q3. Gross margin came in at 19.5%, comparable to Q2. EBITDA margin was stable at 13%, again, negatively impacted by our hedging instruments. In the meantime, we continue to execute our cost reduction and productivity roadmaps. Year to date, we achieved cost reductions of more than 35 million euro. We saw record productivities in many places and the lowest variable cost of 300 millimeter wafers ever. Every day, we work on our technology capabilities. Our investments in new state-of-the-art crystal pulling is making good progress. In Q3, we also approved the first phase of automation of our 300 millimeter production line in Freiberg. I will hand over to Rainer now for a more detailed walk through our financials.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me start again with the impact that exchange rates have on other operating income and expenses. In Q1, as reported before, the net effect was a negative 2 million euro. At that time, significant hedging losses were almost completely offset by foreign exchange transaction gains. In Q2 and Q3, hedging losses were in the same order of magnitude, but there was no offset by transaction gains. Please have a look at page 9 of the presentation for details. Negative FX effects in other operating income and expenses summed up to 80 million in Q2 and 60 million euro in Q3. Without such FX effects in other operating income and expenses, our EBITDA margin would have been around 19% in all the last three quarters. For the rest of the year, we will continue to see headwinds from hedging. At an exchange rate of 110, we estimate this to sum up to a negative 50 million euro for the year 2015, which equals roughly minus 50 million in Q4. We expect the number for entire 2016 to be around minus 10 million at a rate of 110. Gross margin came in at 19.5%. OPEX was stable at around 12.5%. EBITDA, EBIT and net income were basically stable as well. Tax expense was another 3.4 million euro in Q3. We pay taxes in Singapore and US, but do not account for DTAs in Germany where hedging cost losses. Please note that Q4 tax expense will be quite a bit lower. As expected, CapEx came in at 27 million euro. Free cash flow was 1 million euro. Total free cash flow for the year stands now at 48 million. Net working capital was slightly up on December 30. However, it will come down by the end of the year. Pension discount rates were effectively stable compared to Q2. After a discount rate of 2.3% end of 2014 and a significant drop to 1.65% in Q1, Q3 came in on Q2 level roughly at 2.8% in Germany. Pension provisions were therefore basically stable compared to Q2 and decreased 34 million compared to the end of last year. Net cash amounts to 166 million euro, unchanged from Q2. If you look at the balance sheet, please note that we put some 60 million euro of our liquidity into fixed term deposits. Our equity ratio is up another 1% to 48%. And now let me hand back the call to Chris for the outlook.
The temporary market weakness will carry over into Q4. Inventories at our customers were still high at the end of Q3. In addition, the typical seasonal slowdown in Q4 seems to be a little bit more pronounced this year compared to last year. IHS has reduced its industry silicon area growth forecast from almost 7% to only 0.4%. This, however, seems to be a little bit too conservative in my view. I still believe in low single-digit area growth for 2015. In other words, Q4 volume might be down in the mid to high single-digit range compared to Q3. In addition, we see the weakness particularly in logic applications. Logic requires usually higher-priced epi wafers. In consequence, ASPs might be a bit lower in Q4, which is a temporary effect only, based on mix. We expect sales prices by product to be basically stable in Q4. What does this mean for our profitability? With lower loading, EBITDA margins will come down and ROCE will be negative in Q4 and for the year 2015. We are on track to achieve the expected cost savings this year in an order of magnitude of 40 million euro. CapEx year to date was 41 million and for the total year I expect some 70 million euro. This is a bit below our previous estimates, but our value engineering yielded in some saving potentials. All projects are perfectly on track. In total, 2015 is expected to be a growth year for Siltronic. Foreign exchange rates have helped us on the top line, but the weaker H2 and hedging losses will cause our ROCE to be slightly negative for the year, which is a bit disappointing. Nevertheless, we reduced hedging losses and most cost reductions to come. We are off a good start into 2016. Among others, we received customer awards this year from Intel, Texas Instruments, Fairchild, and ST Microelectronics. Customers value our technology capability and our quality focus. We are well on track following our technology roadmap for example, in our 8-nanometer design rule project. Operator, please open the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 star on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to withdraw your question, press 9 star again. Please press 9 and star to state your questions. And the first question comes from Jürgen Wagner, MainFirst Bank.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Can you comment on your utilization in Q3, what that was, and actually where you expect that to go, of course, lower in Q4 and in Q1 as well?
Well, let's start a little bit with H1. In H1, the loading was in the high 90s, certainly north of 95. This went down a bit in Q3, where we were around 90s, and with the announced lower revenue, we believe that it will slightly decrease in Q4. I think in the actual situation with inventory corrections in Q3 and followed by some more in Q4, outlook for Q1 or 2016 is relatively challenging.
And from a today's perspective, what do you think, when could be a pricing inflection point in 2016, looking beyond the seasonally weak Q1, of course?
Well, we do believe that the Q4 situation will probably not allow price increases for Q1 negotiations. From the actual point of view, loading, or let's say demand and capacity balance or imbalance, whatever you want to call it, in Q1 will not change significantly. So we do not expect significant price increase possibilities for Q2.
Okay. So, okay. Okay, understood. Thank you.
The next question comes from Amit Harchandani from Citigroup.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Amit Harchandani from Citigroup, and thanks for taking my questions. I actually have three, if I may. My first question pertains to your outlook for Q4. If I look at the average seasonality for the industry over the past 5 years from Q3 into Q4, it's roughly around an 8% sequential decline. Would it be fair to say, since you said that it's going to be more pronounced this time, would it be fair to say you're looking at your revenues down maybe more than 8% quarter on quarter? That would be my first question. My second question pertains to outlook for next year. SEMI has come out with its silicon shipment forecast looking at 1% annual growth for next year. You said earlier, I think it was a response to IHS, that you thought IHS was being too conservative for this year. Do you have any thoughts on what SEMI is saying for next year in terms of the 1% outlook in terms of volume growth? And finally, could you give us your thoughts on your latest thoughts on consolidation and your views on the same? Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your questions. Let me start to answer the first one. You were looking at the average of Q4 versus Q3 performance over the last 5 years. Of course, this includes prior year, which was somehow untypical with having, a relatively flattish development into Q4. So for this year, we see, like I said, an additional revenue decrease somewhere in the middle to high single digits. Your second question is related to the outlook 2016. Up to now, I know two area outlooks for the semi industry, one coming from semi, the other one coming from IHS. The one is talking about around 0% and the other one is around 4%. I think we assume that it will be somewhere in the middle in between. And consolidation is a very interesting subject everybody's talking about. I think I was always relatively outspoken about the ideas who might participate and who will most likely not participate. And I still stick to it that consolidation without Siltronic participating is not very likely to happen. On the other hand, we continue to focus on things that we can influence on our own, which is technology performance, quality performance, and cost reduction performance. So yes, it is somehow on our agenda, but it's not the hottest subject on our agenda.
That's very helpful. And if I could just slip in a final one, could you give us your latest sense on what is the level of supply in the industry today with regards to the wafers, and how much do you think has supply grown in the industry over the past 12 months?
I think, you know, the capacity growth, let's only have a look at 300 millimeter. We do believe that there is this typical additional 2% in capacity coming every year from basically all suppliers by the bottlenecking and having creative ideas to, let's say, increase the output per equipment in a process step. We had at the beginning of the year quantities like 5 million slices which were sent from the wafer producers. I think this was probably slightly above the installed capacity. The slowdown, like we mentioned in Q3, was mostly driven by 300 millimeter. So we expect somewhere the average for the year to be between 4.6 and 4.8 million slices per month.
Thank you.
At the moment, there are no further questions. So for any additional questions, please press 9* on your telephone keypad. And the next question comes from Bernd Laux, Kepler Cheuvreux.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You mentioned your expectations for 2016 wafer area growth and also the likely 2% increase in supply from debottlenecking. It could well be that a slight weakness in demand will further shift the balance towards oversupply. How high is your conviction level that you will not envisage price cuts in euro terms for your wafers for at the latest the Q2 negotiations next year? Thank you.
Well, I think you asked for what is the likelihood that I can exclude pricing pressure to increase. Like I always said in contact with analysts and investors, predict pricing is probably the most difficult thing to do, and therefore I would like to avoid it. But let me give you some more ideas about capacity and output. The roughly 2% area increase that I mentioned is overall area. And when we talk about the 2% additional, it was capacity 300. So let's assume the demand really grows by 2% points overall area, and probably 300 millimeter contributes 4% to it. So 2% total demand increase at the same time of a 2% capacity output increase in 300 millimeter would create, let's say, less oversupply than we had in the past.
Understood. Thank you.
There are no further questions.
Okay, then, thank you for your attendance on today's call from Siltronic, and talk to you next year.
Thank you.